Yes, I am back. In a previous episode, I said that because this is fun for me. This is fun for me. This is relaxing. But at any given time, if I feel like this has become like it's a job, like it's a task, then that means that it's time for me to take a day or two off because once upon a time I was just doing this every week, then every other week, and then I really got into it. Now I've been doing shows like I've been recording like every night because I feel like the only way to get better is to keep doing it. So I took a me day. Took a me day, and but what I don't like before I because I got stories for y'all, but what kind of pissed me off is that because I got Netflix and Hulu, I wasn't doing Netflix for a while. Just because, like, I think I do Hulu every month, but Netflix, I'm really picky about the months that I re-up my membership because they don't always have things that I find interest in. So why waste money? Even if it is just like, what, $14? Oh, I say just $14. Oh, I'm not balling. Shit, that $14 would go a long way. But nah, like if I don't see or hear about anything specifically interesting to me on Netflix, I won't re-up for that month. I'll be like, oh, I'll skip a month. Shit, I might skip two. But what I didn't like when they just like restart my membership, they were like. It seems like the system was pushing to get my bank card, to like get my bank card because they don't like, I don't know. Like, yo, it just seems like there's no, they do auto pay. They like, once you get your card, no matter if you like the auto pay feature or not, they just do auto pay. And I don't like if there's a month where I don't feel like doing Netflix and I forget to cancel the membership, we all do. Maybe I don't want to cancel the membership. Maybe I just want to keep my membership. Yeah, maybe I want to keep my membership. I'm just not rocking with y'all this month. Know what I mean? Or maybe sometime during that month something to drop and then I'll re-up on a membership. But for y'all to just have access to my bank account, that y'all could just gank that money out of my account. I don't like that. I don't like that. That's why, eventually after I tried to give them like some janky card numbers, some janky old prepaid card numbers, trying to trick the system. Because I just found a way to go online and I paid with the gift card. I like getting the gift cards because it keeps your fucking bank account out of the shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Hulu the same way. I buy the gift cards because it keeps my fucking card information out of the fucking system. Like, you're not just gonna fucking have me on some monthly like residual income for your ass. No. And then yo, what happens is if you work full time, like the only time you really get a chance to burn on Netflix and Hulu and other platforms, HBO Max. Oh, HBO Max. I haven't read up on that because after I watched Boardwalk Empire, I didn't see anything else that interested me. Like, no, I mean, maybe I did a couple episodes of The Sopranos, but it just stopped like right there. Disney Plus, I haven't read up on that in like damn near a year. Because after like Star Wars and all that shit, there's nothing on there that interests me anymore. What am I gonna watch? Sleeping Beauty? Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. I took control. I pay when I feel like I wanna watch. And that's what it was supposed to be about anyway. That's what it was supposed to be about anyway. The whole that's what made them like really put a hit on cable, because cable, you're under contract and half the time you're not even home to watch the shit. Like, yeah. Right. You pay what, $100 a month for cable, and when you get home, like you might watch like half a show and then you fall asleep. That's it. Like, yeah. So, yeah. That being said, I got a couple stories for you. Seven to be exact. I always try to do seven. I always try to do seven. Yo, man who allegedly chased a woman naked through woods says it was a misunderstanding. How is that a misunderstanding? You're chasing a poor woman, your ass naked. What's to misunderstand? Whatever the case may be, it's just wrong. Whatever, for whatever circumstances, whatever reason you feel justified in it, it's fucking wrong. Like, yeah. A man who allegedly pursued a female hiker through the Sam Houston National Forest in the nude claims that he was only naked because he had to defecate. Ew. Oh. It's not right. So, what the? Hold on, man. The man identified as 53-year-old Scott Alexander Stevens has been charged with disorderly conduct. That's putting it mildly. If convicted, he can potentially be on the hook for a significant amount of money. Such Class C misdemeanors, per the Texas Penal Code, are punishable by a fine of up to $500. Yo, if they wanted to be dicks, they could have hit him with like indecent exposure. It's a sex crime. And all that, they could have just really spun that shit out of control. Like, yeah, like that could have been bad. It could have been bad if, yeah, make him register as a sex offender. He was only just trying to take a shit in the woods, communing with nature. The woman just walked up at the wrong place at the wrong time. That, yeah. Yeah, the victim called the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office on Friday evening to report that a naked man was chasing her on Lone Star Hiking Trails, Trailhead Number 3 in Sam Houston, located 50 miles away from the city that partially shares his name. The forest spans 163,037 acres. God, all that land. According, all that land. In some way, this lady managed to, how do they bump into each other with just all that fucking land? According to the Forest Service of United States Department of Agriculture, when deputies arrived to take the woman's statement, she told a patrol sergeant that she had seen the man emerge from a nearby stand of trees and begin to walk in her direction. Ah, that's creepy. When you by yourself in the fucking forest, the man did appear to have an article of clothing wrapped over his forearm, she said, but she didn't stick around long enough to identify it. Smart girl. Instead, she took off running, believing that the man was chasing her. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he just wanted to fucking explain himself. I don't know. Maybe, yeah, smart of her to not want to stick around to find out, though. Though she admitted to the sergeant that she did not look back to confirm her suspicions, while deputies were speaking, went, "Well, is the guy going to get a chance to tell his side of the goddamn story? I was taking a shit in the woods, the most natural thing." you could possibly fucking do. While deputies were speaking with the woman, a shirtless man exited the trailhead. When detained and questioned, he admitted that he had stripped naked at one point to obey the call of nature. See? However, he said he had not seen anyone else in the forest. Shit, he was probably just as surprised as she was. 163,000 acres, and I bump into you while I'm taking a shit? That's like fucking like, what are the odds of that happening? Stevens was arrested in Montgomery County over the weekend and booked into the Montgomery County Jail. The county lies 3 hours south of Dallas. In light of the incident, Montgomery County reiterated the importance of hiking in groups. Oh, exactly. Don't you see how the fucking horror stories go that you're always alone when fucked up shit happens? Always alone. People get lost in vast areas like this. People get disoriented and get lost and end up running out of water and shit, and they end up like dying. And or just missing because they can't get back. Yeah. What the hell was she doing? He knew what he was doing. He came out there to take a dump. In addition, the county recommends packing heavy and making sure you have multiple copies of maps and other navigation guides with you at all times. Exactly. Similar incidents has occurred in Texas before. In February, a naked man wielding a baseball bat broke into a home in Spring. Jesus, what the hell? While the members of the resident family were out. Oh my God. Last July, a naked man. What's up with you Texas guys and being in the woods naked? What the hell is up with that? Don't you? Mosquitoes and shit, man. A naked man who was racing after a female driver's car on a street in El Paso died after police officers hit him with a stun gun. Good. If you would have had clothes on, it wouldn't have hit him that hard. It would have reduced the shock a little bit, spread it out a little bit more. Keep your goddamn clothes on. The lady did the right thing. I think so. The guy, it was just way too weird for her to be comfortable about just letting that slide. The guy was probably saying, wait, I can explain. I mean, but she wasn't trying to figure it out. I don't know you, man. I don't know what you like, what you're into. You could be into some weird shit. Moving on. Don't trust strangers. The moral of the story. Delete this. What's next? Oh yeah, fire deputy Zachary Wester guilty of planting meth on people during traffic stops, but only in three cases. That's three cases too many, man. Yeah, that's three cases too many, man. What the fuck is up with you? Like you, I heard that having quotas is like, I heard it's like illegal to now to have like for police to have quotas for like, 'cause I think before they used to be like, oh well, you gotta write a certain amount of tickets and whatever for the quarter or whatever for the month or for whatever period of time. And it's just stupid because what if nobody's fucking doing anything stupid while they drive for a month? What if you just get a good month where nobody fucks up? Like, yeah. What happens then? You're doing shit like this. You're planting shit on people. Where did you buy the meth from? How do you know where to get the meth from? And you're a cop. Or were you taking it from evidence? I don't know. Let's find out. Fired sheriff's deputy Zachary Wester was convicted in three of 12 cases out of 12. God damn. This motherfucker, like, oh my God, yo. When you get it, he got away with it. Of course. He was getting away with it because nobody was believing that a deputy would stoop so low. Come on. for planting drugs in people's vehicles during traffic stops. His typical MO was to say he smelled marijuana, oh my God, as a pretext for search and then pretend to find meth, prosecutor said. Like, oh, why didn't you just tell people, why didn't you just say I smelled meth and find meth? How do you say you smell marijuana and find meth? If you say you smelled marijuana, he was better off planting marijuana. Please don't plant anything. Police officers and law enforcement, please don't plant anything. But yo, I would have planted some marijuana and said I smell marijuana. Make it match. Make it make sense. The state presented a dozen people as victims. One of them, Benjamin Bowling, lost custody of his daughter because the defendant arrested him, authorities said. Oh shit, now that's yo. Body cam footage in one instance showed Wester palming an item, meth, while beginning to search the vehicle of another victim, Teresa Odom, authorities said. What the fuck was you thinking, man? Somebody lost custody of their child because of this shit behind you, bruh. Like, that alone would have made me stop. I don't know if I would have came clean. But I definitely would have stopped. Like, whatever I'm doing is that's a definite sign. You know it wasn't right, but somebody losing custody of their child over a trumped up charge of possession or whatever, that's when you know, like, you've done the most. Wester was only convicted on three of the cases. That of Stephen Van Odoms, that of Stephen Van, and that of Joshua Emanuel. Guilty counts cover charges of official misconduct, perjury, fabricating evidence, possession of a controlled substance, yeah, and possession of drug paraphernalia, and probably stealing from the evidence locker. Like, yeah, that probably should have been fit in there too. Because I doubt that he was a cop buying drugs on the corner from your local drug dealer. He was getting that shit from somewhere where he knew he could, it was in abundance. The defendant was a deputy with the Jackson County Sheriff's Office in the Florida Panhandle. In closing arguments on Monday, prosecutor Thomas Williams said this was a case about abuse of power. Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially when you go to court and you're telling people that, like, yo, can I speak to your boss? When you locked up or whatever, or when you talk to somebody about this, that's, or you go in front of the judge and you tell him, like, he planted the drugs on me, they're not gonna believe that. They're not gonna believe that. They heard it so many times that they refuse to believe that it can actually happen. Yeah. How's that? Isn't that fucked up? Isn't that fucked up? You get 999 people saying that they were set up, that they was framed, but the 1,000th person actually was. Yo, that is fucking fucked up. Yeah, well, I've heard amid the arrest of Wester, prosecutors had dropped almost 120 cases that he had been involved in. And out of those 120, about 100 of the people were probably fucking guilty. It happens, yo. That's how it happens. It's called fruit of the poisonous tree. Yeah. Fruit of the poisonous tree. Like, yo, well, he's been found guilty for corruption. So you have to, like, at least entertain the fact that he might have did me the same way. Even if I got caught with the shit, he did the same thing and I'm out. I'm off. Yeah, he dropped my case. The defense worked to undermine the credibility of the people who Wester arrested. It's way too many people for all of them to be lying. You gotta stop. Yeah. Attorney Ryan Davis asserted in closing arguments that there was no direct evidence of Wester doing anything wrong, and not one person testifying they witnessed him doing anything unusual. Witnessed testif Not one person wit testifying they witnessed him doing anything unusual. But the defendant denied wrongdoing in testing. He said he did not plant drugs or lie on reports. He said he did not know why his body cam stopped in certain instances, such as the search of Richard Driggers' vehicle. Yeah, you all, you're full of shit. You're full of shit. I don't know. You think they'll fire him? Because you damn sure you can't trust them. You can't trust them after this to go out alone. And who wants to, you send them with a partner? You put them with a partner? Shit, his partner was probably in on it on the times that, yeah. Yeah. And who wants to be partnered with a cop that he feels like he's babysitting? Right? Yeah. Shout out to the people who stepped up. Because if more people would have came, if more people would have came forward, I would have liked to hear about that. That more people would have came forward when this case came out. That, yeah, me too, on some me too shit. Like, he did that to me. I ended up, yo, people lose their jobs over shit like that. I mean, dude lost his child. He lost custody of his daughter. Over some trumped up possession charges. I don't know exactly what the charges were, but I would suspect. In law enforcement or anything like integrity, man. Gotta have a little bit of fucking integrity. Chasing a stripe on your fucking uniform, damn. Next up, delete that. Oh shit. A mega church's ministry program used inappropriate tactics to train teens. Ex-interns say. Now, okay, this is wild. And I have nothing against because the church in most cases, especially small churches and local communities, they do a lot of work after school programs and like they do good. They do really good work. Larger churches, I don't know, for lack of a better term, they seem to have like a cult type of behavior to them. Like, yeah, like me personally, I've been to church before. I had a girl. I went to church because there was a girl in the church. I had a girlfriend, and that would be the best way for me to see her was to go to church. And she lived on the other side of town, but her church was only like not even maybe like I don't know a 2 minute walk from my building and the projects. Yeah, and yeah, so I started just going to church. Like, hey, for whatever the reason, hey, I went. Jeanette, I wonder whatever happened to her. Boy, I was in love with her. But yeah, I liked it. I liked it. It was fun. Quick service. That's what I really. You know what turned me off from church is. And I'm not religious at all. I'm not religious. But when I was a kid and I would have to go to church, I would find myself in there falling asleep. It's so long. You're filibustering. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, most churches, it's a lot of church. I guess in any religion, you got your knuckleheads out the bunch. But for the most part, the people that are serious about it try to do good. Teenagers pitted against each other during fight nights. What? Staged by a youth pastor running a Christian leadership training program. That's training? What's wrong with you? Boot camps where the trainees learn the way to cross by exercising until they vomit or soil themselves, and by hefting heavy logs on their shoulders through the sweltering summer heat. Oh, I would have left. What? Not a pastor, not the Pope himself, not a family member, not a nothing would have kept me there for that. The hell? It stunned me. I wasn't ready. That's why I don't like reading ahead, because it's shock value. It's fucking shock value. Participants who are black or suspected of being gay taunted with racist and homophobic slurs, and female interns fat shamed. I would have left. Get me out of here. I don't care how old I am. I'm going home. Yeah, I'm going home. And I would have told the pastor, "Fuck this. I'll do something else. I'll just read the Bible." Or and yeah. Oh my God. How do parents let their children be subjected to this type of behavior? Like, these are just some of the alleged abuses that were described for this article by more than a half dozen people who took part in the 220i leadership program that the Bethany Church, based in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, which I believe is the capital of Louisiana, ran from 2005 to 2013. What? The program promised to turn participants referred to as interns into minister material. What is that? What? I think ministers go to college. They go to Seminole, I think it's called Seminole School. Yeah, they don't go to boot camps. Like, and to minister material while also providing them with marketable skills like media production. I can learn that on my own. I'm doing media production right now, and I've never took a media production class a day in my life. Among those interviewed was a mother who felt the program was a cult from which she had to rescue her daughter. Thank you, Mom. You got a shot coming to you at the end of this article. Yeah, thank you, Mom. It's a cult. Yeah. NBC News reached out to them after the church's current lead pastor, Jonathan Stockstill, posted an apology on his Facebook page on April 28th for the painful experience many of the 500 or so young Christians endured in the program, who stated the goal was to train young leaders. That's not how you do it. That's how you push people away. That's how, yeah, that's how you make people not want to do it. You can make people lose faith behind stuff like that. There was nothing positive about that shit. I'm done with this article. Shout out to Mom Duke for getting her. Shout out to Mom Duke for getting her child out of that situation and noticing that it wasn't healthy, and it's not quite what she expected it that it should be. Yeah, man. So I'll send my child to learn how to preach the word. And you got him in Fight Club. What's wrong with you? Tell young pastor, we could do Fight Club, me and him. Yeah, it's Fight Club, man. What's wrong with these, man? This is why. And I don't really want to get on my soapbox on this subject, because I really don't, I'm really not well versed in this. But when you leave, it's an example, man. When you leave these religious types alone with impressionable minds, with young, moldable, impressionable minds, haven't we seen what happened in the Catholic Church with these priests touching on these boys? It's been going on for years. It turned into be like a subculture of the Catholic Church. This is the same. This is no different. This is no different. Like when you leave your kids alone with a religious type, and you just trust him completely along with your child, these type of things are going to keep happening. This won't be the first, it won't be the last. It's not the first, it won't be the last, because it's been happening. Like, yeah, you get a good kid, then you get good kids that's and you raise them right, or her, to respect authority figures and not question directions from authority figures. You raise your children to adhere to that principle, because you don't expect to run into some wackos like fucking that. You don't expect your child to run into wackos like that. But in reality, we should all be teaching our children that, yo, if deep in your heart it doesn't feel right, it's probably not. Put religion aside, put everything else aside. If somebody is trying to get you to do something, and in your heart you really, or in your mind you see like, yeah, that you know that is not right, question it. Question it. Don't be afraid. They could have been in there. They could have been in there, and somebody could have died behind that, man. Somebody's child could have died behind that practice, whatever they was doing. Like, it's kind of disgusting. It's really disgusting. Take a shot for that lady. Yeah. So yes, so I'm back on Netflix for this month, and I'm watching Pacific Rim. It's an animated show, and this show is good. If you're into anime, if you're into like animated shows, it's good. It's nice and dark. It's for grown. It's a cartoon, but it's not for kids. Woman tortured, killed man after he allegedly took dollar from child's bedroom, police say. It's the fucking principle. Don't touch a goddamn thing in my house. Yo, you know how many times me and my brother caught like a spanking or got yelled at because there would be money on the table, and we would go to mom, it'd be like go to our mother or go to the grandmother and be like, yo, I found $5, and they'd be like, yo, this is my house. You ain't find shit. That shit is mine. You ain't find nothing. Like, yeah. Ooh, wait a minute. I know that's a different. It's a different scenario because he actually took. But yeah, if you see money on the table, yo, that shit stuck with me. It's something that was instilled to me still to this day. That I don't care if I'm in your house and I see money on your dresser, if I see money on your table, that's your money. I don't care if it's not in your pockets, so it's just open season on it. No, that's fucking stupid. That warrants an ass whooping. Or worse, stealing. Ooh, I've never been a thief. I'll be a hustler. I work a job, but I would never steal. I never had a taste for it. That's good. Police testified on Monday that a man in Lansing, Michigan, found dead and burned. Oh, outside a townhouse, made an example out of his dumb ass over a buck is the principle. Because if it would have been a $100 bill, it would have been, yeah, he would have took that just the same. A townhouse on May 5th was allegedly, outside a townhouse on May 5th, was allegedly killed by two women who were seeking revenge over a stolen dollar bill. Yo! In a hearing, Detective Ellen Larson told the court that Corey Dalton, the man found dead, was brutalized by Sharnay Cook, 27, and Marissa Gilbert. Come on, let's see some mugshots. After Dalton showed up at Gilbert's apartment to purchase a cigarette for a dollar, Gilbert later found out that Dalton had allegedly stolen that $1 from her daughter's room. What? He's stealing from little girls. Or for a cigarette. Like, I would even, it would be frowned upon. It would be heavily frowned upon. But if you took that dollar to get, like, some food, you know what I mean? Get like, something because you was hungry. Like, yeah, I would be like, yo, you're a piece of shit, but okay, you was hungry. Damn. My man, but yo, for a cigarette? Gilbert and Cook, who Larson said was living with Gilbert at the time, according to the court documents, then located and abducted Dalton, bringing him back to Gilbert's apartment. This is premeditated. The two women allegedly beat him bloody, breaking a lamp over his head, hitting him with the belt, and kicking him in the head. Yeah, oh my God. Who are these women? And where is my threesome? Cook later told police that she and Gilbert tortured him all night long, according to that's how I like it, according to court records, all night long. And she also confessed that Dalton begged for his life as they carried out his execution. I think an ass whooping would have been in order, but killing him was like that was, oh my God. The two women, all hold on to your seats, people. The two women who are being tried for first-degree murder held Dalton until Tuesday morning when they decided to take him the apartment. Cook, who writes this shit? Take him to little carrot. Okay, over the motherfucking yeah. Take him to the apartment Cook had recently been evicted from. Empty apartment. Right? Pour bleach down his throat. Stab though. I'm suspecting it's an empty apartment. Yeah, because they yeah. Because if somebody lived there, they wouldn't be able to be around this shit that they do here. Cook had recently been evicted from, poured bleach down his throat, stabbed him, shoved him down a flight of basement stairs. God, it's a buck, man. The bleach cost it more than than the crime. Than the yeah, I would have kicked his ass. Let him know that it's not cool, that it's not okay. And yeah, talk shit to him, turn off, yeah, and yeah, this was overkill, and it's fucking awesome. Cook told police the night of her arrest that Gilbert believed that Dalton was involved in the death of one of their friends and Dalton's former girlfriend a year prior. Oh, whose body is not about the dollar. Oh, this is an M. Night Shyamalan movie, man. Whose body was found in the woods near Gilbert's apartment. Cook told officers that she and Gilbert then bought gasoline and they returned to find Dalton already dead. They burned Dalton then and there, setting the apartment ablaze as well. According to Larson, who added that police acted on an anonymous tip that Gilbert killed someone with the help of another person. Woo. Land justice, baby. Larson said that first responders also found a drill bit had been pushed into Dalton's neck and head. A search warrant resulted in authorities finding what Larson said appeared to be a video and photos of Dalton's body on Gilbert's phone. God damn it, these fucking phones, man. Maybe that gets you off on a murder charge. If you don't have to fucking record everything, please don't murder anybody. Please don't murder anybody. But maybe, just maybe, that gets you off on a murder charge that you have no direct evidence being tied to the shit. God damn, that Dalton was badly injured in the photos in the video in which Dalton could be also heard moaning in pain. Both women are being held in the Eaton County Jail and are being represented by the public defender's office. Oh my God. That's the type of case that you do not want a public defender. Public defenders, their job is to make sure you understand what's gonna happen to you. Like, yeah. They're not gonna fight for you, which I don't know what's to fight for. Yeah, like maybe they just like, no, we're not even gonna pay for a lawyer because it's clear that, yeah, which did not respond to Newsweek for comment in time for publication. Yeah, oh my God. Yo, everybody don't take that shit, man. Look, man, if you get caught in certain countries stealing like a piece of like a bagel, like a loaf of bread, something small, like they chop your hands off, man. Like they did him worse than that. Like I laugh, but shit. Oh my, it was amazing. The level of aggression that they had with this. Wow. Amazing the level of aggression. They ramped it up like, yo, he has to go. Woo! I would love to see that. No mugshots. They always. You are two Thelma and Louise ass bitches. But for you, I'll take a shot. For you both. Oh, man. Woo! They pushed him down the steps and shoved ble and poured bleach down his throat, shoved a drill bit in his neck. Oh my God. Yo, some people just don't, they not with the bullshit. Jury reached a guilty verdict, then the defendant fatally cut his own throat in a federal courtroom. Oh. So, yo, how you? Okay. I understand cutting your throat at sentencing. But yo, you got the guilty verdict though. You know what I mean? Like, you knew you was guilty when you knew you was guilty when you agreed to take it to trial. Because normally they offer you a plea bargain, and if the plea bargain seems ridiculous, then you reject the plea bargain. And I think they might give you a second one. Maybe they give you a second. They give you a second one. Sometimes you get a third, but that's unlikely. But you might get a, if they know they got a solid case against you, then they'll give you a second plea bargain because it's more about the guilty verdict than it is about the time. That's what I really think. And in some cases, not all cases, it's more about them getting the guilty verdict. That's what it's about. So that's why they want you to plead. They want you just to plead. Just plead guilty. That's it. And yeah, pad the stats for me a little bit. Add another notch on my belt. And I make it one step closer to being, yeah. The jury read out its verdict on Monday afternoon. What the hell did he do inside a federal courthouse in Fargo? I can't wait till they come back with the next season. Guilty. A few minutes later, the defendant's attorney noticed him pulling at his collar. What the hell are you doing? The lawyer asked, a witness to the scene recounting on. Then when blood started gushing from his neck, he had slit his neck with some object. There was blood all over the walls in the courtroom. What? And the marshals had wrestled him to the floor. The witness told, you can hear him screaming, "I can't breathe." The FBI confirmed to the Associated Press that the defendant died in the courtroom after cutting his own throat with an unknown object. What the fuck did he do? I can't remember the last time an event like this happened where somebody was able to smuggle in some contraband into a federal courtroom and die of a self-inflicted wound. What? Yo, exactly. My thoughts exactly. He could have used that weapon to cut somebody else. Like, yeah, he could have did damage to somebody. This is a federal courthouse. Shit. You gotta tighten up. Yo, you can't get too comfortable. Yeah, you can't get too comfortable, man, about that security shit, man. Like, yeah. Like, somebody should have had, oh, man. Like, yo, they will, here, when you go to court, when you go to the high court here, I have never been to federal court, thank God. I've been to Superior Court a few times. They'll hit you, yo, if the sheriffs, if the deputies don't feel right when you walk past when you walk through the metal detector the first time, they'll hit you with the wand. Like they'll have you walk through the metal detector and they'll hit you with the wand. And then if they still don't feel comfortable about that, they're gonna be like, "Yo, what you got? You got an earring? You got a belt?" They'll fucking say, like, "Yeah. Yeah, goddamn, somebody dropped a ball on that." Authorities have yet to identify the man. Oh, come on. But federal court records show that a jury in Fargo was deliberating on Monday in the case of Jeffrey Saul Ferris, 55, who was accused of nearly running over seven children last year and threatening one child with a gun. What the fuck was wrong with you, man? What the fuck is your problem? The incident took place on the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians Reservation in North Central North Dakota. Jesus Christ, that's so funny. That's, yo, that's the most Midwest shit I heard. Oh my God, but Ferris was not a member of the tribe, according to federal court documents. He lived in Belcourt, North Dakota, the reservation's main settlement, and was a descendant of tribal members. Ferris was charged in May 2020 over the incident, which took place the previous month on a reservation. Federal prosecutors said he endangered and terrorized the group of children by driving at them at excessive speeds in a Jeep and then brandishing a 9mm handgun. What the fuck is your problem, man? If you're on a reservation, don't the reservation police supposed to handle that too, also? But I don't know. Be it that is, I don't know. Yeah, that's fucked up, man. Kids probably in the middle of the street playing fucking football. We all did it. Whatever. They're doing something. It's just kids. Fuck. Wave a gun at the kids. Damn. Yo, that's fucked up. I'm at a loss for words, and that's very rare. I'm at a loss for words, and that's jet very fucking rare, but what the fuck story is this? This isn't even on my fucking this isn't even meant to be on the show. I'm just reading the shit because it's on the news feed that I set up. Joe Budden accused of sexual harassment by fellow podcast Hope Olivia. That's why they left? That's why they both left? Yeah, man. Look, man. He was supposed to be a half decent rapper. He fanned the fucking flames. Like, I don't have a problem with Joe Budden. I shouldn't. I don't. I really don't. He was a, you know what it is. You know what it is. At one point, we were happy for him because he was supposed to be representing New Jersey when there was not really a lot of New Jersey artists, rap artists coming out. Like, New Jersey has a well of talent. New Jersey has a bunch of talented artists, but it just never, they never seemed to break through. They never seemed to break through the mainstream. So when he broke through the mainstream, we were all like, yeah, we got somebody to put Jersey on that really put Jersey on the map, and maybe it'll encourage people to look closer at the talent in Jersey. But turned out to be kind of like lame a little bit. Like, I don't know. He just didn't pop the way we thought he would. I don't know, man. Like, yeah. So then after that, whatever little bit of he's just doing fucking, I don't know. What the fuck? There's no problem in saying, instead of me saying some stupid shit, I'm just gonna tell you, I don't know. I just know he didn't pop the way we expected him to pop. And I think that's a valid opinion. That's a valid opinion, me being from Jersey. Florida judge resigns after allegedly missing work and making court staff run personal errands. See? This is the shit I'll be fucking talking about, man. Horrible boss. Well, my boss now is pretty cool. It's not even about being a cool boss, it's about knowing what the fuck you're doing. But Florida judge resigns after allegedly missing work and making court staff run personal. That's just abusing it. Yeah, you're abusing it. You're making people not want to come to work. Do you know this? People who are in positions where you can hire people, or where you are like supervising people, where you're just in charge, period, over running aspects of yeah. Do you know that most of these jobs people don't want to come to work? And sometimes it's because of you. it's because of you. I gotta face this motherfucker. His breath stink. He always wanna be all talk all close to me and shit. Be wanting to fucking like, man, get this away from me, man. Like, oh, I call out. I'm not coming in today. You know what I mean? And that's where it starts. I don't think corporate has ever asked any of these jobs. Any of these jobs. Where the guy that's in charge of running whatever, like, yo, why everybody that works under you, they always stay like a month? They always stay 2 weeks and then they give their 2 weeks notice. It's this type of fucking behavior, man. Yeah, exactly. Yo, for real, man. A Florida judge facing discipline for allegedly missing work and having court staff drive him to events, do his online shopping, and perform other personal errands has resigned from the bench. God damn, come on, bro. What are you doing? What are you doing here? I don't even know, nothing to do with legal shit. Nothing to do with legal shit. Where if somebody is like a paralegal, or if somebody is just like working inside the same courthouse, if he works in your courtroom, maybe I'll bring you a cup of coffee on the way because, yeah, I'll do that. But nothing to do with court shit. Nothing to do with court shit. The commission opened an inquiry into Miami-Dade Circuit Judge Martin Zilber after getting a complaint. I want to know what he was asking people to do. After getting a complaint last September about his behavior, somebody had the balls to fucking complain, but was smart enough to know that you don't give your name because all these judges stick together. Right. The commission found clear and convincing evidence that Zilber engaged in the intemperate treatment or misuse of court staff and had excessive absences. Zilber did not contest the inquiry's findings, like, yeah, I did it. Took immediate responsibility for his conduct. According to his April 8th stipulation document, yeah, he's trying to save face by not manning up to it. His attorney had no comment on Tuesday because the case is still pending. Zilber accepted discipline, including a public reprimand, 60-day suspension without pay, and a $30,000 fine, as well as additional training and letters of apology to his current and former judicial assistant and bailiff. A judicial assistant and bailiff. I think that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Like, go. We tired of you, man. Like, go. We didn't sign up to be your secretaries and your gophers. Like, yeah, I think that's fair what they gave him. 60-day suspension without pay and a $30,000 fine. And then you gotta make an apology to everybody that was working up under you. Yeah, I would agree with that. But yeah, I don't think it's grounds for you to lose like your shit. Like, yeah, you can't wear the robe anymore. You gotta hand in the robe when you go. Yo, you gotta hand in the robe, yo. Funny shit. And where am I at on time? Yeah, I'm good. 56 minutes. Yo, I had a gig at ShopRite. Bullshit gig. I was selling weed on the side, and this was just nothing but that ShopRite money was just nothing, just to add to my reel. And yo, so so yo. They called me. I was a grocer, so and they gave me like a ShopRite jacket and shit and a little box cutter. You know what I mean? And fucking they called me to the office. They was paging me. They was paging me. They was like, Avery Johnson, come to the office. Avery Johnson, come to the office. And I'm like, oh, like, oh, I'm coming. Like, man, I'm fucking coming, man. Like, yo, cause I told dude. Yo, this what happened. This what fucking happened. Like, yo, fucking white dude. It's not about race, but white dude was a fucking Boy Scout and did whatever they told him to do. He like, yo, we gotta stock the tomato sauce. It's tomato sauce or something. And ShopRite stupid. Well, they don't have, that one didn't have storage space. So they keep all their stock and all their stock and overstock in trailers, like, right? 'Cause the back is like a loading dock where you can pull trailers. And he like, yo, the tomato sauce is all the way in the back. First off, he's not my supervisor. He's supposed to be working with me. You know what I mean? He's not supposed to be telling me what to do. And I'm on my shit. Like, oh, I'm not gonna let this white boy stunt me. You're not even my boss. You're not even my supervisor. So I was like, oh, so how do you get to this shit? Like, how do you get to that shit? It's all the way in the back, and we ain't got no forklifts. We ain't got no pallet jacks. We ain't got like, how do you go? Oh, you gotta climb back there, and you look at the trailer, and you got like, I don't know, in about a 10-inch space, and about a, I don't know, say about a foot. A foot space, you got where they nailed the trailer down, and it's just nails. So it's like it's nails all through the trailer, and then it's the freight. If you understand, like, so you gotta climb over top of that without getting your back scratched up on it. I was like, oh, I'm not doing that. I'm like, oh, you do that. And then like 20 minutes later, They called me to the office, and they strip. And it's like, yo, like, yeah, we're gonna need your jacket. I don't want this shit. Where am I gonna wear a ShopRite vest at? Outside the, yeah, like, where am I gonna wear a fucking ShopRite vest out of the, well, outside of this fucking job? Like, I mean, and fucking, yeah, we're gonna need your box cutter too. Shit, I got a gun at home. What I need a box cutter for? Yo, they when they seen how unbothered I was, yo, that shit was funny as hell. Like, yeah, well, you're suspended for 60 days, judge. You're gonna have to give up the role. Fuck that. Eh, I went off on a tangent. Sue me. After that, I'll take a shot. Fuck shot, right? Fuck the motherfucker. All the girls, yo, girls that work retail and at supermarkets, they always look good. That's the only fucking thing I miss, because I made more money on the streets than I did working that fucking job. But a check stub is always good to have. Always. Delete that. This is my last story. It's been nice talking to you all. It feels good to be back in the saddle. Florida deputy fired for sending creepy, scary text messages to vulnerable women. And I laugh because the way it's worded, but it's not funny at all. And it's scary, you know what I mean? Because police could get access to information where they can get to you, and you know, it's shit like that. I mean, it's not just like some random stranger that you'll probably never see again. This person can actually like run your plates, find out where you live, find your information. You know, like, that's what's fucked up. A Florida sheriff's deputy was fired Monday. They fired his ass. That's what I'm talking about, man. Action. Action for your consequences. Know what I mean? Consequences for your actions. Florida sheriff's deputy was fired Monday for sending inappropriate and creepy text messages to at least two women who were in vulnerable positions and needed help from law enforcement. That's fucked up, man. What I'm getting from this, just from this top line, in this paragraph, is that they were probably women who were kind of hot or not so hot, depending on your taste. And they were in some type of domestic situation, and this fucking sheriff was trying to weasel his way into, yeah, trying to, that was his way in, playing hero. You okay? I just want to check on you. Oh, that sound like some creepy shit, you know, like, yeah, like, oh my God. There was a story not too long ago about a cop that was, from here, that was doing that type of shit, like reaching out to a woman and calling a woman, like basically stalking. Yeah, basically stalking, which is like, I don't know, man. Because, I mean, who's gonna, it's just so weird. It's just so fucking weird. Like, I don't want to reach out to you. Like, you're, I came to your house to see you as part of a job. This is my job, is to make sure you're safe. If you're safe, then my job is done, and I move on to the next job, right? Damn. Then I move on to the next, like, person that needs help. Brian Overton, a member of the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office for more than 8 years, admitted that he engaged in personal conversations with those women and often made comments that were sexual in nature. Why? bro. Yo, stop it. You're a fucking cop. You can go. Ugh. Cops and firefighters, even though I think firefighters get more pussy than cops. I think firefighters get more pussy than cops. Because cops do shit like this. They do shit like this. They use the fucking database to find out everything that were sexual and telling one of them, for instance, that he had a vasectomy. Why would you tell somebody that you had a vasectomy? You just hit it wrong and let it rip and shoot the club off because it's not, you're not doing anything. It's not gonna happen. You don't tell anybody you got a vasectomy. I don't know. Tell anybody you got a fucking vasectomy is your pickup line. That's what you're leading off with. That's what the fuck you're leading off with. A fucking you had a fucking vasectomy? Like, oh God. The first incident happened last summer after Overton responded to a call from a woman whose father had just died. Okay. I was wrong. The complainant told officials that the deputy's initial text messages were related to the death investigation, but they quickly, oh, that was his way in. Is that the girl's father died? That was his way in. I thought it was, oh man, I gave him too much credit. But they quickly transitioned to unsolicited and unwelcome personal conversations, authorities said. Overton, 35, admitted to that behavior and was formally reprimanded in August 2020, according. In February 2021, the deputy was again using his position to pursue sexual encounters. This guy needs to get laid. Why aren't you just fucking going out? You go to a bar, you go to a nice nightclub, and you'll meet a hooker. No. You'll meet a nice woman and you tell her you're a cop, she's already interested. Like, why not? As opposed to you tell somebody that you're like a fucking, I don't know, you mow lawn. I'm a landscaper. Like, yeah. If you gotta choose between the landscaper and the cop is gonna beat the landscaper 9 times out of 10. You just use what do you do for a living? Yeah, I'm a cop. I save people's lives. I fight crime. Damn, I know how to use it, and I'm not even a cop. Hey, but in February, section with a woman who sought help from his department. Overton met the woman while investigating a child abuse case and soon began texting her through a mobile application that conceals the caller's actual phone number. What the fuck is wrong with you, man? God damn. Beat off before you think about doing these things, and then afterwards, ask yourself if you still want to do these things. Deputy Overton then engaged in a series of text messages with the complainant, which were of a personal and sexual nature, to include making comments about the complainant's body and appearance and inform the complainant he had a vasectomy. Why is that ammo? How do you make that ammo in your push-up gun? How do you shoot your shot with that type of bullshit ammo? Oh God. The woman later told investigators that Overton's messages were unprofessional, creepy, and scary. Damn right they are. Shit scares me. You're telling people, you're not even telling these girls that you got a boner. You're telling them you got a vasectomy. Yo, what the fuck? That's your fucking pickup line is I got a vasectomy. Oh my God. Oh man, yo, like, yo. Shout out, yo. Shout out to the girls that had to endure that shit. Hopefully he gets it together and realizes that The vasectomy line is not working. He ain't even hitting these girls. Yo, he's sending these sexual nature text messages, and then telling people that he got his vasectomy. Like, even if she was interested, once she heard that, then like that's probably like the that's probably like the fucking like the turn off right there is that he got a vasectomy. Not because he got a vasectomy, but because why are you telling me this? Why do you, if you want to bang me, then having a vasectomy is not like, I don't care. Tell me that. Creepy, man. Creepy. That being said, I'm gonna wrap this up. Yeah, I'm gonna wrap this up. Fucks with y'all. Yo, if you fucks with the show, follow me on Twitter, let me know. RYEZSHYNE. Facebook, Avery Johnson, and Instagram, Taco Meat 05 TACOMEAT. Yo, if you make your own podcast, reach out to me because I listen. This is why I listen to podcasts all day at work. I mean, like, yeah, I'll subscribe and give it a listen. Yeah, reach out. Yo, holla. I love you guys. You stay safe. Don't let this guy tell you about his vasectomy. Peace.